Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
A lot of folks getting ready to start planting and growing some great food and some beautiful plants and flowers, spending a lot of time in Backyard USA. So get on the line right now. All of your questions are welcome for the organic gardener, Doug Oster, DougOster.com. It is 866-391-1020, and let's begin the hour by giving you an opportunity to win an incredible $25 gift certificate from Sorgles out in Wexford if you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020. Without further ado, here he is on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline via remote today, Doug Oster. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. Hey, Rob, I'm getting kind of used to this now, doing the radio show from home. I don't know if I'm going to ever come back to the studio.
Listen, just stay in your jammies. We got you covered.
Well, we got a lot of good stuff going on today. Of course, we're going to be talking trees with Miles Stevens from the Davy Tree Expert Company about curb appeal of trees. And certainly, if you have any tree questions, he's the guy that will have the answers, and I've got some for him. I am Doug Oster from Gardening with Doug at DougOster.com. A lot of Doug's in there. Plug, plug, plug. That's where I have stories, blog posts, and videos. This video that I did this week is all about these cool garden hacks that you can do with your stuck at home. To keep gardening, to find some compost on the property and some seed starting supplies. And I also wrote about my favorite crocus. And for all these years, I've been talking about this crocus called Pickwick, and it is so beautiful. It has creamy white petals that are striped in purple with a luminescent orange anther. And I, for some reason, I had always heard that it was introduced in 1939, which is the year my house was built. And so I kept planting Pickwick, saying, okay, I'm planting it because it was introduced the same year my house was. Well, I found out that when I did some research about writing about it, that it was introduced in 1925. So even though I've fallen in love with Pickwick crocus, I've fallen in love with it under false pretenses. So I posted all the pictures, not all the pictures, but many pictures of the crocus I've shot over the years. I just love the crocus, so you can see that either at my Facebook page or at DougOster.com. And I've got some cool upcoming stories. I ran into a gardener who has surrounded himself with 250 houseplants during this pandemic. Another story on foraging for cocktail ingredients with my friend Ellen Zakos, who is the backyard forager. And a story that actually has been in the works for almost 3 years now about a new boxwood plant that's resistant to boxwood blight. But there's more to the story. Bennett Saunders, I saw him 2 years ago at this trade show I go to, the Mid-Atlantic Nursery Trade Show, and he got up and spoke about this plant, but it wasn't going to be available until this year, till this season. And so I said, well, I'll wait till next year to do the story. People will be all excited if they hear about a boxwood that's blight resistant, and if they can't get it, what's the point of writing about it? Well, then I saw him again this year. I ran into him at the trade show, and he started telling me, though, besides the boxwood plant that's boxwood blight resistant, about his father and his grandmother had fallen in love with boxwoods, in the 1940s. And this whole wonderful family story about how his father had started this little boxwood nursery as a kid, figuring out how to make the cuttings and everything. And so that last week I got an interview with Bennett's father, Paul Saunders, who's like 86 years old and he has trouble hearing. And so that was Bennett's biggest concern, was like, hey, he can't hear very well, so if he doesn't answer the question, he didn't hear it. Well, I asked him a question, what does it feel like to have your son taking over for you in the boxwood business? And there was no answer. And so I started to repeat the question, and his father said, no, I heard the question, and he was choked up telling me the story about how his son was taking the reins and introducing this new boxwood and keeping boxwoods in people's landscapes. So I'm having fun writing these stories and telling these stories. So that's all at DougOster.com. Today, the other thing we're going to talk about is our annual organic lawn show. So if you've got questions about your lawn, give us a call. And right now is the time to put on this stuff called corn gluten meal. When we see the forsythia blooming, that's when we put it on. And it is a basically for lawns, it's used as a crabgrass control. And how it works is, first off, it's benign to us. It's perfectly safe, and that's why I'm talking about it. It can't hurt us. It can't hurt the soil life underneath, and it can't hurt anybody who lives downstream. And so corn gluten meal, it's a granular product, and you sprinkle it on, and it stops any crabgrass from completing the germination cycle. So those crabgrass is an annual, so those will start to sprout, those seeds, when they're in the corn gluten meal, but the corn gluten meal will dry them out. Now, there's two ways to buy that corn gluten meal. You can buy it in a way that will go through a spreader, and that's when you buy it at a nursery or garden center, or you can buy it as they use it for livestock feed. It's cheaper that way, but it won't go through the spreader. If you have an Agway by you, they will have it. And that stuff is a great weed control because, again, it's safe. And when you put it on spring, fall, again, it's like 90-some percent effective against crabgrass. I had a call from a listener that I talked to yesterday down in Washington, and I told her all about the corn gluten meal. But it's not just for the lawn. Now, that's how it's used this time of the year. But in the vegetable garden, you have to understand how it works. If you had a seed bed just filled with beans, once those beans come up, now you could apply the corn gluten meal so that any other weed seeds will not sprout. And so I love corn gluten meal, and it's easy to find and a great weed suppressor. A couple other quick things about your organic lawn. Be sure you've got a sharp blade on that mower. That's important. You don't want to tear the grass. You want it to be cut. Leave the grass high, 3.5 inches if you can, and then let the cuttings lie. Those cuttings will actually compost into the soil and help the grass. That's not where the thatch comes from. Get a soil test. If you're having trouble, like I'm sure we'll get a call today about moss or weeds in the lawn, a lot of times when the pH is wrong, it's good for the weeds, but not for the grass. If you grow that grass and you give it everything it wants, which means the right pH and the right fertilizer, it'll outgrow anything. That's why we try so hard to keep it out of our vegetable gardens and our flower gardens. That grass is looking for the good soil. So get a soil test from the Penn State Cooperative Extension. And then usually we do this in the fall, but you could do it in the spring if you wanted to. Aeration is something where you just put, you rent a machine. I usually do it with my neighbor. And it takes out these like thumb-sized plugs out of the grass. And that makes the lawn less compact, and the water and the fertilizer can get down to the root zone. So it's time to get working on the lawn in your home and get that job done.
All right. This is what we're going to do now. We're going to invite all of you to join in with all of your questions. Plus, Davey Trees will be here shortly talking trees. But right now, the number for you to call to be on the show with Doug, come one, come all, 866-391-1020. Congratulations from Melissa Coriopoulos, winner of that gift certificate from Sorgles. We have one to give away from Janoski's in just a little bit. Take a break. Come right back. Get to your calls. It's Doug Oster. It is the Organic Gardener on KDKA Radio. Yeah, and Doug wants to talk to you. We have a couple of lines available. It's going to get very busy as we move into the hour. So if you have a question, I urge you to call now at 866-391-1020. Let's go to Joe up next for Doug Oster, Everybody Gardens. How are you? Good morning.
Morning, man. Doug, I've
What's
got
up?
Two questions.
Go ahead.
Yes, composting. I've got about 2 yards of composting I'm contending with. And is it possible to put too much coffee grounds and tea bags in it?
I mean, it's possible, but usually when you mix it in, you'll never know the difference. You know, we often hear from people who they want to put coffee grounds directly on a plant, and it's pretty acidic, and so it can change the pH. Are you seeing tea bags left in there, or what's your concern?
I just thought over the course of, weeks and months, it might build up the pH too high. It's only, 3 little Keurig cups a day and maybe 2 tea bags a day.
No, I mean, you've got lots of other stuff coming out of the kitchen, out of the garden, throwing it, going in there.
Oh, yes. I just don't want to throw that stuff.
How did you start composting?
I just had some topsoil left over, and I got trees out back, and just something to do. I mean, it's... just seems like a wise thing to do, right?
And how do you use it?
Just mixing it with the soil. I've got maybe 200 square feet of gardening stuff on the side. And I just had the topsoil left over, and I've got a good bit of trees, and I just grind it up and start turning it over.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I wouldn't worry about the
sun.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about the tea bags or the coffee grounds. I think that's, with everything else in there, you'll be fine.
Lastly, seedlings. Much like Seinfeld, I can get them to germinate, but I can't. Maybe I get lazy and I don't like to put them in the next step. Is there any way to do it without handling so much? They get leggy on me, is my point. I can get them to germinate, and then I put them in a little peat pot, and then I lose track of them. Can I plant them too deep, or any suggestions?
That's usually a lighting issue. What light source are you using?
I've got a grow light and a fluorescent light above the laundry tubs, and I got a rack underneath of the shelf. And again, I can get them to germinate, and then I transplant them to a peat pot, peat pot, little Dixie cup size, and then they just—I don't know. Maybe I just lose interest after I get them to germinate.
No, I don't think so. I think what it is first off, a fluorescent bulb should be changed every year. For growing plants under, and you have to get those plants as close as you can to the light. I mean, within inches.
Okay.
And so, when I used to do it with a fluorescent, I had them on chains, and, I would bring them up as the plants got a little bigger. They need a lot of light. I'd go get some new fluorescent bulbs and figure out a way to get them close to the light. And then another little trick is as they get bigger, use a little bit of aluminum foil around the sides. You can use the same amount of light, only you're using reflective light off the aluminum foil, which will give it a little bit more and make them nice and stocky and how you want them. That's all you need to do. I don't think you're doing anything else wrong.
Okay. Do they need transplanted? I mean, I just put them on top of a inch of medium or so, and then, or can I just put them in that seed pot and don't handle them at all?
With tomatoes, I pot them up a couple times for the plants that I really want to take care of because they enjoy getting potted up. But, like a regular nursery would keep them in the same container, but you need to feed them. That's the other thing. If you have proper light and you're not going to change the medium they're growing in, you need to feed the plant. And I use this stuff from Espoma called Grow. It's easy to find, and it's just a concentrate. Should last you for months. And it's like maybe 12, 15 bucks, and you mix it with water, and then every time you're watering, you're feeding the plant. That might be an issue, too, is if you're not transplanting to a bigger container, just fertilizing them, and then with the bright light, you'll be good to go.
All right. Hey, coming up next hour, Joan Frank and I, the Dentici family, it's the Coons Cooking Hour, doing a great job during this crazy time, getting all of the great food out to the people of this region. We're going to kind of let you just sit back, relax, and think about the holidays that are fast approaching. Passover begins April the 8th. Of course, Holy Week underway. And we're going to be talking all sorts of great seafoods. And the next week, we're going to be focusing on hams for Easter because it will be Easter Sunday today being Palm Sunday, and the Catholic Diocese doing a lot of streaming, all sorts of great services throughout the week, and you can find out more about that story at kdkradio.com. Doug, we got about a minute before the break. Miles Stevens going to be here from Davy Trees, davy.com. Tell the folks what you're going to be talking about.
Well, this is the last week that I'm going to give away the free tomato seeds because it's getting too late to start them, and so I have these tomato seeds. They're called 3945. They're named in memory of those who served during World War II. My friend Dan Cummings, who passed away a couple years ago, he had a friend who had this, was going across the battlefield in World War II, found a tomato. All the guys in his unit were eating the tomatoes, and he stuffed a few seeds in his pocket, and they just kept growing them when he got back to the States every year. And the two of them came up with the name 3945, the years of the war, and so it's a pretty cool tomato. All I ask you is you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and all that information is at DougOster.com, and then I'll send you the seeds back. You plant them. There's instructions. Save the seeds and send me some seeds back so I can keep the project going.
All right, DougOster.com. He's the organic gardener here every week on his show, Rob Pratt Sunday. It is from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. Next hour, the Coons Cooking Hour, and then Jim Meredith, Kirk Carlson hosting another very timely show all about Wall Street, your finances, building that strong financial portfolio, the home of the master plan, a chance to phone in and talk to them on Heffron, Tillotson, Your Money and You. Then a lot to get to on the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday show that begins at 11 a.m. Much more to go today. KDK Radio, good morning. Yes, he is. Doug Oster, Miles Stevens, moments away. Davy Trees, talking trees. But right now, the 10th caller at 412-922-1020 wins an incredible $25 gift certificate to Janoski's in Clinton.
Yes, welcome, Miles Stevens from the Davy Tree Expert Company. We're going to talk about curb appeal today, Miles. But before we get to that, is there any way to tell what the effect of the mild winter is on trees yet, or is it too early?
Sort of too early. It was definitely a very mild winter. The only things that I think I've seen is some of the storms we had most recently, some broken branches, that type. But otherwise, weather-wise, I can't tell you I see anything specific right now I can put my hands on.
And what kind of stuff are you guys doing this time of the year? Just getting ready, or is there work to be done besides the storms?
Still doing pruning work. Obviously doing removal of dead hazardous trees, that type of thing. We're doing that work. We are out doing some landscape work and pruning for those type of situations. We're pretty much so operating at normal for right now, as normal can be in these times.
Right. And when we say curb appeal for trees, what do we want to talk about there?
Well, curb appeal would be, now that it's got a little nicer, is walking around taking a look. And if there are broken, damaged limbs, prune those out. Dead woods, really prune those things out. But always keeping in mind, when is the right time to prune? I always get a lot of questions on they want to prune their dogwood, or they want to, they have a flowering plant. And I'm always like, let's wait till after they bloom before we really consider doing, pruning on those. Because what's the point of having a flowering plant and pruning buds off it that you want to enjoy?
Right. Trees like dogwoods or shrubs like azaleas or rhododendrons, they have their buds on them already. We don't want to prune those because we would lose flowers.
Right. You don't want to prune any of your spring bloomers right now.
Yeah. So is there anything as a homeowner we should be looking for in particular when we're looking around the property? I've got a question from a listener in just a second here, but when we're out in the yard and we're looking around, what should we be looking for when we're looking at those big trees?
Once again, looking for any cracked, broken limbs that could pose a hazard would be number one thing I'd be looking for, those type of things. Sort of a general look-see, look around the base of the tree, make sure it doesn't appear there's been any, sometimes we see with all the wind and the storms and a lot of rain, sometimes trees will start to uproot slightly. So look for some heaving of the ground, those type of things.
So I have a pruning question out of my garden for you. I was looking around yesterday. Now, last year I discovered I had three or four of these flowering crab apples in the forest, and they were just completely overgrown, like with all sorts of water sprouts and stuff to the inside, and I pruned one of them last winter, and it's looking good. It's gonna flower, and I've never seen it flower before. But I've got two other ones in there that I don't think they're gonna flower. Can I still prune them, or do I wait until next year when they're in dormancy?
I would go ahead and, you know, once you're past the time of year that they bloom, and even if they're not blooming now, I'd still wait. I'd still go ahead and prune them out, you know, thin them out, and,
right,
you know, get rid of, you know, some of that undesirable growth there that, you know, and then see how they perform next year. I wouldn't hesitate to, you know, thin them out, prune the dead out, do that type of thing. I would not hesitate to do that maintenance on those.
So I have a question from Thomas, and he has a large maple tree, and it's 55 years old. He's noticed this year that the light green buds that develop before the leaves open start showing only on the lower portion of the tree and in sections. Gradually, the buds opened around the lower part of the tree, and a few are showing up on the top two-thirds of the tree. Last summer, he had work done, and heavy equipment was used for this work around the house, and they were running over these big roots and damaging and cutting some of the smaller roots. And the final question he has is, do you think the tree will survive?
Hard to say at this point. And that's a toughie for a tree because it's grown in that site for 55 years, and now all of a sudden there's a potential for some severe soil compaction, root damage. And, you know, sometimes that doesn't show up quite that quick. But, you know, that definitely puts a lot of stress on it. Thing to do would be have an arborist come out and look at the tree and evaluate and determine what the condition might be. But that's a tough one. You know, trees, they can't move. You know, we get somewhere we're uncomfortable, we could move. You know, if it's hot outside, we can go inside the air conditioning, or cold, you know, cold outside, we can go into the heat. That tree, it's where it's at, and it's been, you know, its root system has developed for that area. Now there's been a change to it, and that's very difficult on the tree. You know, somebody come out and evaluate, decide to make it, or you can come out and potentially recommend doing some soil recommendations, mediations, you know, some vertical mulching, those type of things. But it'd be best for somebody to take a look at it and get a feel for how, you know, they think it's going to go. That's a tough one, though. Then that's when a tree's environment is changed like that, that's tough because they've grown doing how everything is going to be their own little kingdom there, the root kingdom, and that gets changed.
Yep.
That's difficult on them.
And when a certified arborist from Davy Tree comes out, they come out for free, right? And then just they look things over and tell you what to do with the tree.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Any ideas on spring planting as opposed to fall planting? Is it okay for me, if I find a cool tree, to get it in early? I like planting in the fall, but sometimes I stumble onto a tree that I'm just like, wow, I'd really like to get that in. And is it okay to plant them during the spring?
Sure, absolutely. I think it's fine. I think sort of in the times we're living in right now, it might be a nice thing to do, you know, albeit, you know, picking and selecting your own tree and as a family sort of planting it or have somebody come in. I think a nice greenery, I think is always makes people feel better and more optimistic about things. I think it would be a great time. I mean, not only because I think it's a great time to plant in the spring, but I think with everything COVID-19 going on, I think it might be a nice project for the yard to do right now and be a positive type thing.
Oh, I agree. Spending time in the garden during this strange time is very, very therapeutic, I think, and planting a tree would be a great thing to do. I agree. You told me about a tree last year, and I think it was a serviceberry that you liked. Does that ring a bell?
Yes, serviceberry. It's one of the earliest flowering trees we have in this area. I see a lot of time in the woods. I mean, it isn't a landscape, but it's flowers before dogwoods. And actually, I always like the little history it goes with us, why they call it a serviceberry. It's in the eastern part of the state. They call it a shadblow. And the reason for that is in the east, it flowers when the shad would be going up to like the Delaware or Susquehanna River or whatever. West of the mountains, they call it the serviceberry because when it bloomed, that was about time of year this traveling minister could make it to some of those backwoods places. So we call it serviceberry. Great small to medium-sized flowering tree.
And was there a certain variety you really liked? If I'm putting you on the spot, don't worry about it, but I'm remembering something you told me from last year.
I use Allegheny serviceberry in a certain variety called Luster. Nice flowering. Then in the fall, the foliage does turn like oranges, so you get, you know, two seasons of color with that. In fact, also serviceberry does produce a small fruit, so it'll attract birds, you know, to the tree. It's not so massive that you have a flock of starlings on your property, but enough, you know, fruit on it that it does attract some of your smaller songbirds and that type of thing. Great little tree.
And one thing that I found interesting about serviceberry is that I heard that also that the berries are edible for humans too, but you never can get them because the birds get them first.
Right, right. Yeah, they are edible, but yeah, the birds get them. And actually, they're not really that plentiful on the tree. It's not like some other fruit producers that you might have. But yeah, they are edible.
Due to your recommendation, I put in a serviceberry last year, so I'm looking forward to seeing what the blooms look like. And I'd always wanted one because I'd always read about it, what a great native tree it is.
Yeah. And it's like a lot of times people see them, they bloom early, and people look at a wooded area, and they go, oh, the dogwoods are blooming. And usually, well, that's not the dogwoods, that's a serviceberry blooming.
One thing that I have seen from the mild winter on my hemlocks is hemlock woolly adelgid.
Yes, I've seen that. I think we've had a little bit of the last couple years, hadn't seen quite as much, but I think we had a couple winters there that got very cold, and they can be sensitive to that. But this last winter, good point, I have seen some, not in the quantity I would have seen like 5 or 6 years ago, but I have seen some activity with that.
What I'm doing for that is wherever I can reach the tree, I'm spraying it with horticultural oil to try and knock back the bug.
Right, yeah, hort oil this time of year would be great. And like I said, very limited numbers, that would be great. I mean, I had one client just had small hemlock in her back patio townhome, and she was out there just sort of scraping them all off. So that works too, if you can do that.
Yeah, that's what I've been trying to do on my hemlocks. But, you know, if you've got a tree that's 30 feet tall, you need the experts. You need the experts from Davy Tree to come and get up there high to do the work.
Tell the folks how they can get in touch with Davy Tree, and we'll take a break, Doug, and we'll come back. Go ahead.
For more information about Davy Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davy.com/KDKA, and don't forget you can always call the experts at Davy Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. One more segment with Doug and Miles. And, of course, this is The Organic Gardener, DougOster.com, KDKA Radio, Rob Pratt Sunday. All right, next hour, it's Passover, Holy Week, seafood and more, the Coons Cooking Hour with Joe and Frank Dentisi. But time to now get back to The Organic Gardener, Doug Oster.
It's time for Mrs. Know-It-All. That's horticulturist Denise Schreiber. And what a day to be out in the garden, huh?
Oh, I was out all day yesterday, you know, just doing busy work. You know, I put out my gazing ball. I picked up some broken branches. I weeded your favorite weed and, you know, planted a couple things, spotted my trillium finally came up. So I was a happy camper yesterday. I was out pretty much all day.
And you have seeds started?
I have seeds started. In fact, I got my monster jalapeno seeds on Friday. So I got them planted and, you know, I got them. And I did a few more tomatoes. I just had to fill the trays with some seed mix. And, you know, I was good to go. Now I'm starting to run out of room.
So still okay to start tomatoes and peppers? We still have time to get those?
Sure. You know, and I always tell people that even though, you know, when you go to the garden center, you can see the tomato that's in the 6-inch pot and it's got flowers on it, or there's the one in the packs, you know, like the 3 or 6 packs. Buy the smaller ones because when you go to plant them in the garden, if you would buy each, I can tell you that within like 2 to 3 weeks, that small tomato will be the same size as the larger tomato,
right?
Because that one's still trying to put out roots and produce fruit and flowers, whereas the smaller one's going, oh, good, I can grow now, and it will catch up in no time at all.
All right, Denise, have a great day in the garden today, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
All right, let's go to Doug, another Doug. This one's in New Kensington. Hey, Doug.
Hi, Doug. Thanks for taking my call. I got a question on just what you imagined was going to come in today, and that's moss and a little white weed or a little weed that has a thin stem and a white bud at the top of it that's taken over my yard, and I have it in my garden spot where I put my tomatoes. And I got a, I was going to put a layer of black plastic on top of it to see.
We only got about 30 seconds, so Doug, jump in here real quick for Doug.
Well, that's the weed that Mrs. Know-It-All was talking about. That's bittercress. And with your moss, what you need to do to that lawn is get that soil test from the Penn State Cooperative Extension, find out where the pH is, find out where the fertility is, and get that back to where it should be. You got to get that bittercress out of there before it flowers, and that might mean going by hand and pulling all that, then improve the soil, and you'll be good to go.
All right, take us home, Douglas.
Whether it's raining, cold, sunny, or hot, enjoy every day in the garden.
All right, have a great week, Doug. Thank you, folks. Stay with us. Melinda next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.